The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about this topic, I thank you that you are an extraordinary, amazing God. We ask that you would come and meet us and speak to us by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you, I suspect, are thinking, healing, great, exciting. It's a really good topic for us to think about and talk about. Others are probably sitting there going, seriously? Are you really going to be talking about that topic in a pandemic of all times? If it helps, I can relate to both of those attitudes. I think talking about healing is probably my most favourite and least favourite subject at the same time. It's my favourite because it's a reminder that God can do immeasurably more than we can ever think or imagine, and he didn't stop doing those things 2,000 years ago. And because I believe that even today, some people can receive God's healing. It's my least favourite because there's still a lot of pain and suffering in this fallen world, in this pandemic-ridden fallen world. And there will carry on being death and mourning and crying and pain until the new heaven and the new earth that we're promised in Revelation 21. Normally when I speak on this subject, and I have spoken on it on quite a few occasions in different places, I try and spend a lot of time unpacking the theology of understanding healing. But today I want to do something a bit different. I want firstly to raise our expectation of what God can do through you and through me. And I also want us to help to reflect on what we should do with the ambiguity that's involved in this whole area of can God heal? We've used the image quite a lot this year of it being a storm. And I believe in the God who can still the storm, see that from Mark, but also the God who walks with us through the storms and even carries us in the midst of storm. You will have heard the expression, the now and the not yet, from me and from lots of other people. As we recognize that we live in the between times, between Jesus' first coming and his second coming at the end of time, when the kingdom of God breaks in and we see healings like we do in the New Testament, but we don't see them all the time. And I know the reality of that tension just as you do. Many of you know that my wife, Anushka, she's been in pain basically for nearly 2 years now. and restricted in what she can do. My first wife died, and in spite of lots and lots of prayer, even as I speak, the hospitals are getting full and many of you are suffering as you watch and listen to this. And yet I believe the Bible. I believe and I trust in accounts of many healings over history. And I know of many such accounts that carry on even today. So I don't speak with any blind triumphalism, but I am determined to keep pressing on into this topic because I know that healing can and does happen. The question is, can God really heal? That's the question that I set. And no, the answer is actually not so much about who God is and what God can do, but about who we are. If I ask you the question, who are you? I'll get various answers. Some of you might describe yourself in terms of being a homemaker or a father or a shop worker or a school teacher or a nurse or a business person or an accountant or whatever. Others of you may start describing yourself in different ways. Because I've asked the question, you might think I want a more spiritual answer, and you might start using words like I'm a Christian or I'm a follower of Jesus or I'm a disciple. The word that I find myself using increasingly these days is the word apprentice. As a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, we're not just saved from something and saved for something. We're called to live as Jesus lived, to be his apprentice, if you like. And we're called to be his apprentice in all sorts of ways. And the first thing I think we're called to be his apprentice in action. Why am I talking about that? Well, you look at what was the focus of Jesus' ministry. He healed the sick, he cast out demons, and he proclaimed the good news. We see that in so many examples across Scripture. We had that passage involving Bartimaeus read earlier. Jesus healed the sick, he cast out demons, and he proclaimed the good news. But it wasn't just Jesus that did that, as we see in Scripture. Who were his first apprentices? Well, the 12 were his first apprentices. And they're the ones who get sent out in Luke 9. And Jesus gives them power and authority, it says, over demons and diseases. But then he has more apprentices. Because in Luke 10, and that's the passage we had read this morning, he sends out 72 more apprentices. He widens the scope, but he also gives them power and authority to speak healing in Jesus' name. And so after Jesus' death, when Peter and John are faced with that lame man outside the temple in Acts 3, it's actually no surprise that they think, well, I've learnt from the master, I'm now the apprentice, I have to do what he did. So they say, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Because Jesus has two things. He has the authority of his name, and he has the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, we have the authority of his name, and after Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit. That, of course, as an aside, is why it was so important for the early church to wait in Acts 1, verse 8, as Jesus instructs them, how important it was for them to wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because they needed the authority of Jesus' name and the power of the Holy Spirit within them. And remember, anything that comes from the Holy Spirit, remember, be it healing, be it administration, be it leadership, be it prophecy, be it speaking in tongues, is a gift of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit, given as God chooses, 1 Corinthians 12:11, and when God chooses. And that kind of leads us on to the second bit about what it means to be an apprentice. And I think it perhaps helps us with some of our struggling with this topic, with when we see an apparent absence of healing. Because I think we're called to be apprentices, not only in our action, but in our attitude. And our attitude, first of all, to each other, our attitude of care. Remember, God can still the storm, but he also walks with us through the storm. We live in a fallen world. We live in between times. Suffering is sadly part and parcel of the human condition. But love and care are at the heart of the gospel. Look how Jesus acted. We see the word many times. He acted out of compassion, not just doing it because he could and he had the power, but he had compassion for people who were in need of his healing power. Compassion was what drove his activity. And we see that in other passages in Scripture. Galatians 6:2 reminds us to bear one another's burdens. In doing so, we fulfill the law of Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:4, we read, we've received comfort, and with that comfort, we can then give comfort to others. Notice there's an implication there that there will have been tough times. There will be tough times for which we will need comfort, and we will need to give comfort to others. And we have this extraordinary thing called community that we call the body of Christ that actually helps in that process as the body shares some of that pain. And of course, having an attitude of care actually does lead to action. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. So if we have an attitude of care, then we will want to act. That act might result in dramatic, wonderful healing, or it might result in someone simply being loved and cared for. Many years ago, when one of my nieces was still a toddler, she managed to pour a scaldingly hot cup of coffee all over her sort of chest and torso. And at the time, it looked like she was going to need skin grafts and all those kind of things as she was rushed to hospital. At the time, the family were very much sort of on the fringes, sort of inquirers, socially involved in a local church. And what the local church did was two things. They prayed for my niece. They prayed really hard for my niece. But also they showed lots and lots of love and care for the family, doing the things that we do, particularly through Love in Action, but we do it through our roots groups, and we do it just through friendships within the church, that just caring in terms of meals and practical help, childcare and those kind of things. And wonderfully, my niece was healed, didn't need skin grafts, the burns went away, for which I'm really thrilled, obviously. But I wonder which was the biggest miracle. Was it that she got healed from those burns? Or was it the fact that as a result of that, as a result of this, the simple love that got poured out, the lives of that whole family were changed? And nearly 25 years later, they're still going on with the Lord as committed followers, as committed disciples, as committed apprentices of Jesus. Because healing is more than just physical. Healing is about wholeness, the whole person. Just this week, I received an email from someone in response to last week's talk about some of the priorities of going on with the Lord and having disciplines in our life. And this person wrote, I realized my spiritual health was more important than anything else. My spiritual health was more important than anything else. But if we're apprentices in our action, apprentices in our attitude to each other, I think we're also apprentices in our attitude to God, doing as Jesus did in the midst of pain, amidst of confusion, in the midst of uncertainty. He said to Father God, not my will, but yours. That's a hard thing to do, but it was certainly very hard for Jesus, and he managed it. So in Jesus, the kingdom of God, remember, broke in completely. At the end of history, when there's a new heaven and earth, we will see it break in again. In these in-between times, we get these glimpses, sometimes great, sometimes little. But I urge us all to continue to think big, not to settle for some kind of existence which is sub-Christian, less than what God intended for us. As we do that, let's keep humble. We have no rights. We're called to be thankful, to ask God for what we want, but then to be at peace and to keep praising him. Keep the perspective of thankfulness. We raise a hallelujah no matter what's going on. And we hope and pray that in the midst of the test, ultimately what will come out of that is testimony, story of what God has done. Finally, I believe we're called to be apprentices in the way that we're ambassadors for Jesus. Jesus came from heaven and represented God in this world. People like Paul traveled and represented Jesus in hostile, unbelieving contexts. I believe that we are called to represent Jesus where we are, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our workplaces. And we're called to represent his full gospel. Remember, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, he proclaimed the good news. We're called to represent that full gospel in our attitudes to each other, in our attitudes to God, in our attitudes beyond, and in our actions. You see, I do believe that where God wants to do most of his kind of activity is out there as a sign of his love, of his presence, of the reality of his being. And he calls us to be his ambassadors in those places, to represent him to be loving, to be caring, but also to be bold. I want to share a little secret with you. Come here. Most people are very happy to be prayed for. They don't reject it. So let's be bold and let's do it. There's lots of mystery in this subject. There's lots of frustration around this subject as well. But God can do a lot through you and through me if we're willing to take some risks, if we're willing to risk pain of disappointment, and we're willing to let him. Will you? In a moment, Patrick is going to lead us in prayer, but will you just allow me to pray very simply now? Father God, I want to thank you for each and every person who is watching and listening. And I bring to you every pain, every ailment, every disease. And I speak to each of those. And I say, in the name of Jesus, pains go, diseases go, discomfort go. And I call upon the power of God's Holy Spirit to flood in with his wholeness, his joy, and his peace. And as I do that, I also pray for each one of my brothers and sisters watching this, that you would make us bold to dare to take the full gospel out to those whom we know and we love. In Jesus' name, amen.